One of our missionaries we support, the Bob and June Bevingtons, here tonight. Praise God. And also, I know Brother Burns and his wife there, too. They've been to Open Door twice. And one of the biggest tests for a Baptist preacher is how to put one of these things on. Yeah. Amen. Glory to God. And, there we go. All right. And so, praise God, Brother Burns and his wife. They've been to Open Door twice. And invited him back, ran into him outside there. And I said, oh, my, imagine seeing you on this side of the state. Amen. And, we're having a big teen thing in February. And him and his wife's free, invited him back. He's got a passion going down there to down south to work in a prison full time. So him and his wife, so keep them in prayer also. And boy, it's good to see a great crowd on a Sunday night. Amen. And things are going well at Open Door. Please pray for us. We'll be celebrating our 10th anniversary this coming Sunday. You get the letter, preacher, from our church. Amen. We got to be celebrating our 10th anniversary and of the church. We've been there about 5 years. It'll be 5 years in February, almost 5 years. So please pray for us. We're expecting a big crowd. Our church has been packed every, almost every Sunday since August. And we're going into a building program. We're averaging about 160-something a Sunday. And Wednesday nights are running real strong. We run about 100 on Wednesday nights. And Lord's just really blessing. Support 35, 36 missionaries now. And God gets all the glory and praise. But I must admit how shocked Melly and I were this morning when Pastor Skyber said that Amber and Clint were having a baby shower. Amen. And five of the men from the church, I was preaching one time, and I said, I always wanted one of those John Wayne rifles, one of those old repeating rifles. And they bought me a real one, and I love that thing, and I keep it in the trunk of my car. And I was heading out there to get that rifle, amen. And Clint, that was close, amen. I'm very proud of Clint. He's come a long ways, fits real well into our family, and him and Amber's going to be getting married in March, and just pray for us on that. And Billy's doing really well. We started an institute in September. We have several young men that surrendered to preach in our church, and I encourage those who want to go away. There's four colleges within 6 hours of Lima that we'll be glad to take you to. But for those who wish to learn and serve in the local church, I believe in Timothy's. Yes. I believe the local church has dropped the ball on training their own. Right. And we're more than willing to train our own. And I thank God for Rob and Tawny there in Lima, being able to get away and spend some time. First time all the family's been able to be in church at the same time in many years. So praise God for that. And Tawny, we just hired Tawny as our church secretary. She'll be starting in January. So very excited about what's going on at your church. Please keep us in prayer and just glory to God. But that, preacher, let me tell myself before I start the message, I made a pretty big blooper here. Oh, several years ago, we was having Hope Children's Home, man, and we was having trouble getting, that's when we was first there, having trouble getting some of the families to have the kids into their house. And so some of the single ladies said, well, we'd like to have some kids. And so I was thinking about it, got up on the platform, and I got up here and I said, well, if any of you single ladies would like to have children, please see me in my office after church. And that and everybody did what you folks did, and I'm looking around, it's like, what's so funny, you know? And then I looked at my wife and I realized what was so funny, amen. But amen, they're starting a record on me too also, amen. So they don't let her forget, so I praise God. The thing that impresses me the most is the spirit here. The crowd, my heart goes out to this church every Saturday night. I go into the prayer closet, and this church is one of my main focuses. Every ministry that I can think of that this church has, I pray for it specifically. And just come see the attendance, but more so than that, I'd rather have 10 people in a good spirit than 1,000 in a dead spirit. So praise God. Get behind the man of God. Amen. He might be a goober, but we love him. Amen. 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 John chapter 7, please. John chapter 7. It's good to be here tonight. Honor to be behind this pulpit. And Melanie and I, of all the ministries we did here in 21 years, the teen ministry is the ministry we miss the most. And so good to see so many teens still in church. Keep it up. I know many of you is not teens anymore, but you'll never regret serving the Lord. Amen. Yeah. I saw a statement in a magazine recently that would not leave my mind. It said, "Are you impressing or impacting your area for Christ?" Big difference between impressing or impacting. I began to meditate on that statement. Most churches today, many by their own admissions, are in the impressing business. Now let me say this, I'm all for great first impressions. Pastor Skyver put that down deep in my heart with 15 years with him. Clean building and a well-maintained property, amen? Organized church without hindering the Holy Spirit's leading. I believe in organization to the T, but I also believe that sometimes you don't know what's going to happen. You just have to let that Holy Spirit lead. But it should not be for lack of preparation. I believe in an exceeding magnifical presentation of the love of Christ and presenting the gospel every service, even if you think everyone's saved. I don't think there should be a service that goes by without the gospel being presented. But I'm not for holding services that impress people. I want to impact lives for Christ. The use of many other Bible versions would impress many. Well, Pastor Skyver must be a scholar. He has 100 Bible versions on his shelf, and he gleans messages from each one of those versions. No, that might be impressing some people, but that's not going to be impact anyone, because 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, "Let everything be done decently and in order." There's one Bible in the King James language, and that's the King James Bible. I've stopped calling it the King James Version. It's not a version. It is the it's the Bible. Key difference. The use of jam sessions would impress some, reaching the youth. Having an orchestra up here with drums and all these type of things might impress them. I'm nothing wrong with horns and the stringed instruments. I'm not saying that. But to have a drum set up here and a jam session where somebody's doing the windmill on the guitar and, doing the praises, hey, that might draw in some people, that might impress some people, but it's not impacting anyone, because the statistics tell us tonight that people are leaving the contemporary movement in droves. Coffee shops and lounges in the building. I told Open Door, somebody suggested when I first went there, we need to get a donut hour and coffee hour. I said, not as long as I'm pastor. Amen. Nothing wrong, if it's going to be any kind of hour, it's going to be Jif peanut butter hour. Glory to God, amen. It's not going to be coffee shops and lounges in the building. If you want to rest, rest at home. Come to church to get something from God. When you build your new building, build it beautiful, build it nice, but put the focus on the preaching, amen. Pulpit in the center. Glory to God, hallelujah. I'm not for impressing people. I'm for impacting lives and impressing God by standing upon His promises. To be honest, God is the only one we need to care about impressing. Are we impacting or impressing people? Are we impacting or impressing people tonight? The truth is, you can impress without impacting, but you cannot impact without impressing. There is a proper order. Let me give you an example before we get into the message tonight. Say an unsaved person walks through those doors in the average church in America. My burden's for America. We just helped start a church about 15 miles from where we're at. Glory to God. Our church is only 10 years old. We're already helped birthing new churches. The guy wasn't out of our church, but he was there at our missions conference and spontaneous giving. We got over $6,000 to help him start that church down there about 15 miles from us. We have a big part. Went down there and helped him and everything. But just, praise God. My burden's for America. I love the foreign missions. We support 20-some foreign missionaries, but I don't forget about the evangelists and missionaries here in America. Amen. Tonight, in the average church in America, an unsaved person goes to the church service looking for something. The music impresses them, not beautiful music like we heard tonight, but music that appeals to the flesh. The music impresses them. The messages tell them, and I wouldn't say this here if I didn't say it in my own church, But that creep down there in Texas with this, everybody knows who I'm talking about? Amen? Yeah, everybody knows? Old Joe Steen, amen, glory to God. That creep down there in Texas is sending more people to hell than Islam is.
Yeah, right.
But he's sneaking underneath the radar.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's some good things about him. And I know they get mad at me in my church for saying that too, but we'll see who's right on Judgment Day. Amen. They'll go in there and he'll tell them all kinds of psychology about how they can be a better person and everything. The Bible says we're going to wax worse and worse. I choose to let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. They are invited to coffee hour and give an impression they are okay with Christ. But they leave without Jesus Christ, bound for eternal hell. You might have impressed them for about an hour, but you did not impact them for eternity. What's your ministry about tonight? What's your church attendance about tonight? What's your offerings about tonight? Are you impressing people or impacting people for eternity? There is a big difference tonight. We had one of our teenagers at our church visit another church two Sundays in a row. They came back and was almost in tears. Went to Brother Rob, our associate pastor, our youth pastor, said, "Brother Rob, I was at this large church two Sundays in a row and not one altar call was given. I was at this large church two Sundays in a row. Not one person asked me if I died today, do I know where I'd spend eternity?" Now, they said they had all kinds of music, 55 minutes of music and a 5-minute sermonette. What is that impressing or impacting for eternity? I'll choose to run the 160 somewhere running and try to make an impact. Hey, I make mistakes. I do things wrong. I make all kinds of mistakes. But I get up and preach the Bible. I try to do my best. I fall short of the glory of God. But that grace of God saved my soul on May 26th, 1974. And it can do the same for you tonight.
Amen.
Impressing or impacting. If we could all stand out of the respect of God's word, please, as we read in John chapter 7, verse 40. "Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this prophet, said, 'Of a truth, this is the prophet.'" Hallelujah. "Others said, 'This is the Christ.' But some said, 'Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh out of the seed of David, out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, 'Why have you not brought him?' The officer said, 'Never man spake like this man.'" Hallelujah. "Then answered them the Pharisees, 'Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed.' Nicodemus saying to them, 'He that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth?' They answered and said to him, 'Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet.' And every man went into his own house." Tonight, are you impacting or impressing for the cause of Christ? Let's pray. Dear Father, help me to be a blessing. Lord, please, I don't want to waste anyone's time in here, Father. Please, give each one of us something we can take with us on our journey in life. In thy name we pray, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. First of all, look back at John chapter 7, verse 40. To impact, we must know the truth and embrace it. John chapter 7, verse 40. "Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, 'Of a truth, this is the prophet.' Others said, 'This is the Christ.' But some said, 'Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was?'" They did not consider the whole story. They did not care enough to ask or research the truth. How do you know that? I'm glad you asked. Amen. Turn back to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. They're arguing about the place that the prophet, this man that's saying things they've never heard before, was from. But the scriptures tell us in Luke chapter 2, verse 4, exactly where he was from. "And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David." God crosses every T and dots every I. If he doesn't, we're in trouble. We might as well go home, because John 3:16 might be wrong. Amen. Verse 6, "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished, that she should be delivered. So if they'd have done a little bit of research, they'd have found out he was born in the proper place. But they did not care enough to research the truth. And that's the problem with the average churchgoer today in America in almost 2010. People don't care enough to pick up the scriptures to find out if these things are so. John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. 15 years under Pastor Skiver, not one time did I hear him say, let's open up an NIV and find out what the truth is. No, not one time did I hear him say, open up one of the other 240 per versions and say, let's find out what the truth is. No, the truth has been settled years ago. Forever the truth has been settled. Turn to John chapter 16 real quick, please. John 16. If we're going to impact, we must have the truth. Or we're either in the pressing business or the impacting business. John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Spirit, praise God, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So what's that telling me? Every saved person has a prodding of the Holy Spirit. They have to resist that Holy Spirit to wind up in a church that doesn't use the right Bible. They have to resist that Holy Spirit to wind up in a church that doesn't believe in confrontational, door-knocking, soul-winning. They have to resist that Holy Spirit in order not to support missions. They have to resist that Holy Spirit in order not to run buses to pick up people to bring them into church. Because that truth shall be revealed to us. I tell you tonight, to make a lasting impact, we must have the truth. We will not impress anyone at Judgment Day because we did not preach the whole truth. Acts 20:27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the whole counsel of God. Hallelujah. I tell you what, praise God, from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation chapter 22, we need to preach the whole book. There's nothing minor about any of the prophets in the Bible. It's all major when it comes to the Bible. I was in a conference here a while back and I heard a preacher say, there's no such thing as a minor prophet. It's all major when it comes to God. You know what? The more I read the scriptures, the more Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, means to me. The more I read the scriptures, the prophets towards the end of the Bible, the names that I can't pronounce yet, glory to God, we'll be side by side in heaven. Amen. Glory to God. Can't pronounce them, but hey, they're there. They mean more and more to me. I got done reading my Bible through. I always challenge my church. We have a Bible readers banquet. You know, I stole your idea again. Amen. Bible readers banquet. Challenge them to read through the Bible. I got done in November. The Lord said, you still have another month yet. Do it again. I've never read through the Bible in a month. But I tell you what, when you read that quickly through the scriptures, that much, it just flows out. Praise God, I'm 20-some chapters ahead. I got 4 days left. I can't see a thing. Glory, that's why I'm such in a good mood tonight. I can't see if you're smiling at me. I got astigmatism. I can't see, but praise God. I had to take my watch off. Can't see the clock in the back. Glory to God. But glory to God. Read that Bible. Read that Bible. Get the truth down in your heart. We must proclaim the gospel as is written to impact others. We are saved by the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Hallelujah. The gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Diane and I was talking this morning about the Romans class. Although it's hard to believe that was over 10 years ago, that first Romans class. The good times we had down there in Romans, amen. The good times Dave and I had harassing Scott and Jack Knight, amen, glory to God. And some of the other people down there that we can't name, amen, we just harassing. But at the end of the night, I'd go home and Melanie would say, what's wrong? I'd have to be up at 2:30 in the morning to get to work. I'd get home at like 10 o'clock at night and I couldn't go to sleep. Preacher said, get out underneath the stars and see where God's at. I'd be out there at 7710 Peck Road, out there freezing in the middle of the night, looking up the stars. God, you got to be out there. God, I want the truth. God, give me some truth. God, put it down in my heart. There's people going to hell, and I want to do something about it. If you'd have known me when I first came here, you would say, man, it's a miracle of God, that guy's standing up there. See, I used to be the guy that sit back here where Mrs. Skyver was sitting at. She sits back there, she can slip out and get a cigarette real quick. Amen. I only say, Amen. I love that. She's a dear lady. She was a dear friend of my wife when they was here. And I used to sit back there, but not for the reasons she's sitting back here. I'd sit back here because I was so shy and so quiet. Started here in 1984. Oh, God. I'd sit back here, God, you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to help me come out of this shell. I want to say hello to people. I want to say something. I want to do something. But God, I can't. I can't. I can't. And he said, you can. I kept trying. I kept trying. And every time I get up, every time I sit up on the platform at Open Door Baptist Church, tears start coming to my eye because I look out there and I say, I know it's not me doing it. I know it's the grace of God. Amen. Glory to God. The truth of God can make the difference. We can impress others by entertainment, but the scriptures say you must be born again. It's not entertainment, folks, that's going to get it done. And anybody that tries to get in his ear and tell him that, well, we need to do this for the youth, we need to do that. Hey, Bobby, where'd you go, Bobby? Wave your hand at me. Right there, amen. Just keep teaching to him. Keep preaching to him. That's what makes the difference. John 7:43, please. First of all, hallelujah, they got to have the truth to impact others. There must be truth. Second of all, we must not have a division as a church. Must not have a division. The only thing, and I'm telling myself, I was a deacon here for years also before I became associate pastor. Very unique position. Amen. Glory to God. But then I became surrendered to preach in my early 30s. And if God tells you, anybody in here, well, you're too old, you tell him to go home. Amen. Tell Satan to go home, not God. Amen. Tell Satan to go home. He tried to tell me that, and praise God, he's using me a little bit. He can use you a lot, amen? To impact others, we must not have division as a church. There's only one thing that I can think of in 15 years with Pastor Skyver that I said, preacher, I just don't think that's right. When he wanted to pave the parking lot, I don't know if you remember that or not. I said, preacher, I don't know. We're getting ready to move, and I don't know if that's right or not. And I didn't rebuke him in front of people, didn't say anything in front of him. I just went aside and said, preacher, he said, Brother Bill, trust me. I said, okay, preacher. You're the preacher. I'm not. I'll trust you. He was right and I was wrong. Amen? Don't cause divisions in the church. If there's somebody that should be the closest one to God, it should be this man right over here. And if he's not, let God take care of him. Pray for him. Pray that God will get your heart right. Pray that God will get his heart right. Look at John 7:43. So there was a division among the people because of him. See, Judgment Day is going to be difficult enough without being the one that caused division. Now, Christ caused division because he preached truth. I never apologize for causing a division if I'm preaching the truth. In love. Very good Sunday school lesson. In love. In love. Big difference. Preach it in love. Jesus knew his way would cause division because people want to bask in their self-glory and self-love. We didn't have a Christmas play this year. We had Christmas singing. Because I noticed last year at the Christmas play, there was one or two people that kind of was basking in their self-glory. Says, no, Satan's not going to creep in here in any way, shape, or form. We'll just have straight music this year. I'm not against Christmas plays. I mean, I was in many of them here, not against them. But we have to be very careful about letting Satan into our churches. If people's getting prideful when they get up to sing, if they get prideful when they get up to preach, if they get prideful when they go out soul winning, when they get prideful with the bus routes, hey, praise be to God. You know, the person that goes out there and knocks on the doors and tries to win somebody to Christ and they have two on their bus route, God's blessing them just as much as the person that has 40 if they're putting prayer and effort into it. Let's not worry about numbers so much as somebody just getting sold out to the cause of Christ. We've got sold out to numbers too much. Well, that man's not successful because he's been at that church for 20 years and they're not running 20,000 people. Yeah, a lot of those churches that run 20,000 people are L-I-A-R. Can I say that here? Yeah. Liars! Amen! Glory to God! They make it up. They make it up. I'm not saying all of them, but some of them do. Jesus is the King, so I know his way is correct. He was hard on the religious crowd and compassionate with the sinners. Yeah. Oh my. I heard a preacher say here a while back, he said, oh, bless God, I haven't seen any miracle conversions anymore. It's time for the Lord Jesus to come back. They need to come to Open Door Baptist Church then. We have an alcoholic that sits there every Sunday. He's saved, amen, with the key members of the church. We have a drug addict, an alcoholic, and a prostitute that sits about halfway back on that side. There every Sunday, made a major donation, financial donation to the church. Praise be to God. We got drug addicts and alcoholics all over our church. There's miracle conversion still going out. It's just people don't go out and care enough to win souls to Jesus Christ. Don't tell Brother Burns about not having miracle conversion. You have a, you're a miracle conversion. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We just don't care enough to go out and tell others about Christ. It's why we don't see miracle conversions anymore. This God's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
To impact, we must not have a division as a church. This might be meddling, but don't have this in my notes, but here it goes. You want your children to respect God and the man of God. Don't go home and roast Pastor Skyver every Sunday at the dinner table.
Yep.
Don't go home and roast Rod Black, wherever he, you know. Just roast Debbie, but not Rod. Amen. Glory to God. How'd you get all that hair, brother? That's just not right. Amen. You either. Don't go home. Seriously. I tell my church this all the time. It gets real quiet in there, Brother Wayne. You want your children to stay in church? Don't go home and roast the preacher on Sunday. You want your children to stay in church? Don't roast the deacons. Don't roast the bus ministry. Don't get mad every Sunday afternoon when you go home and say, bless God, I can do a better job. Well, if you think you can do a better job, go start a church yourself. Amen? Not being a smart aleck. But listen, if you want your children to stay in church, clamp your teeth down on this thing. I'm speaking from experience. Amen. Glory to God. There has to be a final authority. It's the King James Bible. There has to be. Notice the phrase. Look at John 7:43. So there was a division among the people because of him. When it comes down, is it your preference or God's? I want God's preference. I want God's ways. I want God's ways. I'm dealing with a bunch of new Christians, and that's exciting on one hand. But on the other hand, hey, I had brown hair when I went there. Amen. It's what hasn't fallen off turned gray. Glory to God. But pray, I love that church. I love that people, but it keeps Melly and I busy dealing with those baby Christians. Whew. We got a bunch of new saved people in that church. They're excited, but they don't know doctrine. They're excited, but they don't know the truth. They're excited, but they don't know the fundamentals. And I just keep, I called Pastor Skyver here a couple years ago and said, preacher, what do I do? He said, just keep loving them. That's what I've done. And by the grace of God, I'm still there. They haven't railroaded me yet. Amen.
Amen.
Just keep loving people.
Amen.
Learn their names. Learn their names. Somebody came up to, if they're here tonight, I wouldn't say anything, but they're not here. They came up and they said, they mentioned somebody in my church, and they said, well, we really love that couple, and they gave the wrong names. And it's like, well, I know people will make mistakes, but I know one thing, you're not praying for them if you don't know their names. Learn people's names. The truth, impacting people. Those who cause division in the church quench the Holy Spirit. They stop revival and doom people to hell. Wouldn't you hate to be the one that quenched revival here at 745 North Freedom Street because you wanted a position that went to somebody else and you got mad and took three other families with you? Wouldn't you hate to stand at Judgment Day knowing you quenched the Holy Spirit? Wouldn't you hate to quench the Holy Spirit by saying, well, bless God, we didn't need that or we didn't need that, and I'm just going to stand up and say why we don't need that? Wouldn't you hate to be the one that faces God quenching the revival?
Yes.
Quenching the Spirit, quenching soul winning? Jesus is the King, and I know His way is correct. I know a preacher in Indiana. Him and I have become pretty good friends, and his dad started a church many years ago. And they just weren't, well, he took over a church that was 2 years old, excuse me. And they weren't used to soul winning and preaching hard and just standing for what's right. And this pastor's dad told the congregation, I'm just going to keep preaching. And they said, no, you're not. you preach like that, and you'll be out in the woods. We're going to throw you out, and you'll be out in the woods preaching on a stump somewhere. Well, he got up, opened up his Bible. I'm mighty courage, preacher. He let it rip the next Sunday. And they fired him. They fired him. About 2 or 3 days later, one of the farmers in the church pulled up in front of this preacher's house on a tractor. Behind the tractor, hooked to with some logs, he pulled out a stump off his farm and said, "There's your pulpit." Amen. They started church about 2 Sundays later in his house with 35 people. That church, over 35 years later, running about 300 people, seeing people saved every week. Because the truth. I would hate to be those people that threw that preacher out for preaching the truth at Judgment Day. You got a problem? Don't run the church down. You got a problem? Don't run the pastor down. You got a problem? Don't run the Bible down. You got a problem? Don't run the Savior down. You got a problem? Get on your knees and give it to God. He's the one that can take care of it. He's the one that can take. You putting faith in yourself? You putting faith in your own abilities? Or are you going to put your faith in the Almighty God? What you need to do, pray, wait on God, and then talk to the other person. We might impress people by offering several types of services, contemporary, traditional, King James Bible or potpourri Bible. Amen. Readings and poems. Not against those, but when they replace preaching, I'm against those. It bothers me. I might be only 5'4", but my mama didn't raise no sissy. Amen? We got a bunch of feminine guys behind the pulpit anymore. Yep. I'm not talking about knocking people's heads off. Amen. Although I'm not against that either. Amen? I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about when you get behind the pulpit talking like a man. I'm talking about when you get behind the pulpit acting like a man. I'm talking about when you carry your Bible out, you don't carry it in a purse. Amen? You see it. You see it anymore. Amen? You see it. If you guys got Bible carriers, don't worry. I'm not talking about that. But it just bugged me. It just bugs me. I was to a conference recently, and so were you guys. Maybe I'd not say this. But I was amazed. It's like, man, I want my preacher to be up there. We need some men behind the pulpits. Not somebody that I'm confused about what gender they are. And then I have to explain on the way home that we just don't like that kind of preaching. Amen? I mean, preacher, we have new Christians in our church, and that's the first conference they go to, and they can't tell if the guy up there is preaching a man or a woman. I'm not trying to make anybody mad, but we need some men behind the pulpit that will love their wives, not be looking at every woman walking down the street like that. That will look at their wives, that will love their wives, that will love their children, that will love their Bible, that will love their church, that will love their God. I'm sick and tired of a country that's going down the tubes and making sissies out of our men. We need to impact. Now, I'm not making a man, praise God, I'm not saying. You don't have to be a brawler. The Bible warns the preachers about being brawlers. I'm not taught. That doesn't make you a man. Walking and talking like a man. Yes, sir. This young man over here, you in the service, sir? Yes, sir. Amen. Thank you for serving our country.
Yes.
Men. Men. You know why? You know why we have the best the Republican Party has to offer as a lady? It's because men refuse to stand up and lead. Nothing against the ladies. I'm part lady myself because my mom was my birth mom, so it makes me part woman. Amen. Glory to God. Part woman myself. Nothing against ladies. I love my wife. I love my daughter. I even love my sister. Amen. But guys, let's carry ourselves well.
Amen.
Ladies, I apologize to you because we as men have dropped the ball. We've refused to lead, and we've put you in positions where you have to lead. Ladies, you've done a good job, but we've dropped the ball. We might want to impress people by offering several types of services, but God says there's one way. Preaching, 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 and then more preaching. By the foolishness of preaching. I didn't get saved because somebody stood up and sang 42 specials. I got saved because Cecil Mullins stood up in a church where the deacons threatened to throw him out, and he'd stomp his foot, and his head looked just like mine. He'd stomp his foot and say, "If you don't get saved, you're going to split hell wide open." And as a 9-year-old boy, I walked the aisle in that church. Amen. And how I got saved in that church, I don't know, because that church was dead as a doornail. But I'll always be indebted to Cecil Mullins for preaching the gospel. Jesus did not care about impressing. He wished to impact. See, a house divided will not stand. I want to impact people for Christ. Romans 16:17, "I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division, the offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. And join hands with them? No. Avoid them." Yeah, right. Avoid them. One of the hardest things in the ministry, you make friends, preacher, you know what I'm talking about. Other pastors. You need to find out they're not on the same, they're not even in the same book as what we are. I'm not talking about the Bible. But they're just way out there in their doctrines. Way out there in their beliefs. And then you just say, "Hey, I love you and I'll pray for you, but I can't fellowship with you because there's too many other guys out there that are running the race with passion, with Christ, that are doing the job." Now, I'm not talking about breaking over stupid things. I'm talking about breaking over major doctrinal issues. Yeah. Jesus did not care about impressing. He wished to impact. Look at John chapter 7. We'll wrap this up one last time. First of all, to impact, we must know the truth. Secondly, we must not have division as a church. And thirdly, we must be like our example, Jesus Christ. John chapter 7, verse 50, please. Nicodemus saith to them, "He that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him, and know not what he doeth?" Look at that again. Nicodemus saith to them, "He that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know not what he doeth?" Here we find a man defending Jesus Christ. It's old Nicodemus. That same that came to Jesus in John chapter 3. And Jesus said in John 3:7, "Marvel not that you must be born again." You must, you must, you must, you must, you must. I worry about people that add things to salvation, like baptism, about holding out these things. By faith, if Jesus Christ wasn't good enough to do it by himself and to save us, why in the world did he suffer such a, like that scripture you quoted, Isaiah 52:14, "His visage was marred more than any man." Why would he do that? Why would he come down from the splendors of heaven if he's not enough? You must be born again. And then John chapter 19. Let's turn there. John chapter 19. We find Nicodemus in three spots. First, Jesus is telling him, "You must be born again." Then we see him here defending Christ. And then John chapter 19, verse 38. Let's pick it up in 38. "And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, and a 100-pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it with linen clothes, with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he is crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden was a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand." Glory to God. If Jesus would have told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, "Well, Nicodemus, you're just fine on your own," I don't think Nicodemus would have been at the tomb in John chapter 19. I don't think in John chapter 7 Nicodemus would have been defending Jesus Christ. But Jesus set the example from the beginning.
You must be. You must be. You must be born again. You must be born again. Oh, Nicodemus, here's the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. To impact others for the cause of Christ, we must preach Christ. We must preach Christ. Or we're just in the business of impressing others. Can't you imagine? Can't you imagine? When Nicodemus got word that Christ had risen from the grave, he had the honor of being recorded for eternity as the one who so carefully, him and Joseph so carefully took the care of the body, the beaten body. The pictures have it wrong. Like Pastor Skyver has preached so many times, it wasn't just a few drops of blood. It was from head to toe. Yeah,
right.
Don't get your doctrine from Hollywood either. You get it from the Bible.
Amen.
From head to toe, our Savior was bruised and battered and bloodied. Can't you imagine as Joseph and Nicodemus wrapped that beautiful body of our Savior up? Whew, glory to God. And Nicodemus' mind had to go back and say, he impacted me. He not only did he impress me with his words, but he impacted my life. Because as those Pharisees, as Nicodemus was, as they went around saying, doing their religious pious works, no, it's faith in Christ that gets a person to heaven. Tonight, Jesus did not care about impressing. He wished to impact. He could have impressed Nicodemus by giving him money, fame, fortune. He's God. He could have did it. He could have just clicked him a mansion. He could have just clicked him anything that he wanted. But he said, straight and narrow is the path that leads to salvation. Tonight, in each one of your hearts, in each one of your ministries, whatever you do for Christ, if it's picking up trash on the floor, if it's stuffing envelopes in the pews, if it's teaching a Sunday school class, if it's running a bus route, whatever it is for Christ, no job is too small, by the way. Are you impressing or impacting? Make sure you're impacting for the Savior. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father, I thank you for this church and for these people. Thank you for this preacher, Lord. God, please, I'm asking you, please tonight, God, to move in our hearts and our lives, to give us what only you can give, to do what only you can do. Oh, Lord, please, help us never to go into the impressing business. Let us always be in the impacting business. God, please, meet with us tonight as we head into a new year. Lord, time is running out. Help us, Lord. Help us to impact this area for you. Help us to impact this country for you. Lord, we give you all the glory and honor and praise, Jesus. In thy name we pray. Amen. Preacher.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. Most important question to ask any person is this. If you were to die, do you know for sure if you'd go to heaven or hell? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Just as Brother Billy just preached, he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You can't get to heaven without being born again. It's not shaking the preacher's hand. It's not joining the church. It's not taking the Holy Communion. It's not getting baptized, although after you get saved, you should be baptized. Don't get you to heaven. Just obedience to his command. But have you trusted Christ? Have you literally invited him in your heart to be your Lord and Savior? How many could say with an uplifted hand, Pastor, tonight I'm positive there was a time in my life I saw myself a lost sinner and I've asked Christ to save my soul. Could you raise that hand? I know for sure I'm saved. I know it. No doubt in my mind. Thank you. May put it down. Would there be any tonight that would say, Preacher, would you pray for me? Pastor, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell, especially after Jesus loved me and died for me and rose, came here so I wouldn't have to go. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I'd sure like to know. Pray for me. Just raise it. Let me see it and I'll pray for you. Anyone like that tonight? Pray for me. I'm not sure. Pray for me. I'm not sure. Maybe you're Christians here tonight, and you'd say, Pastor, I am saved, and I know I'm saved, but I've not been making an impact on people's lives. I've really been just been going along, but I really need to make an impact. Pastor, pray that I'd make an impact on people's life for Christ. Pray for me. I want to, yes, 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 sir. Yes, sir, God, yes, sir. Yes, God bless you, ma'am. Yes, God bless you. Yes, sir, I see that. Pastor, yes, God bless you. I see that hand. I want to make an impact for Christ. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Father, thank you for the message, for the messenger. And thank you, Father, for having an impact on our life. Help us to share you with others. Help us to make the difference, I pray. If there's anyone here that doesn't know you as Savior, help them to trust you tonight, we pray. And Lord, for those that are saved and need to get baptized, I pray they'll come and get baptized tonight. Some are saved but never had believer's baptism. Pray they'll come and be baptized tonight. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.